Welcome to Take Off, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce. Today, I'm joined by Emily and Travis for a fun episode coming up here. But a few things before we kick off, as always, a quick reminder, if you're brand new to Points and Miles, check out episodes 1 through 6 of this show to learn some of the fundamentals, as well as join our Facebook group with over 390,000 other people who are interested in Points and Miles for daily inspiration, resource to answer your questions, whatever you need. And be sure to sign up for our free tool, My10X, which makes it easy to optimize all of your points and miles, save a boatload on travel. You can get started at my.10xtravel.com or by clicking the link in the show notes. And finally, as always, I'd like to ask Travis, Emily, how are we doing this beautiful morning?
I am great. I went skiing in June yesterday.
Whoa.
How's water skiing?
No, just regular skiing. It was a closing weekend at A Basin, which is like the last mountain that stays open, at least near Denver. And there's like one run left open. So it's just everyone kind of like falling into this one trail. And there's like a little pond skim where all the snow has melted. So people like try and like ski across that. Doesn't go well for a lot of people, but it was fun to watch.
So how did it go for you? You definitely tried right?
Opt out of that. I don't enjoy, like, I was watching some people try and escape it after falling into it. And, like, it's just waist-deep slush water. And it probably took somebody, like, 30 to 40 minutes to escape.
Wow.
Like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. But it was fun. I've never done that before, so I'm excited to be able to say that I did it.
I'm just, like, shocked that...
There's still
ski
snow.
Season can stretch into June. And yeah. When does it reopen? Like July? Like we're closed for 3 weeks and then the snow comes back.
Yep. A couple months off.
Travis, did you spend any time in a waist deep slush water this weekend?
You know, it's funny. It was really, it's been just super rainy here the past week or two. So maybe not. I just spent some time doing some gardening. We had some breaks in the weather, so mostly just took it light and easy before it gets too hot to do those outside chores that need to be done. And my fellow Texans and probably some other states, they'll understand.
I mean, I spent this entire weekend prepping for this podcast. I don't know about you slackers, but I was going through every single word, completely on top of things, did not spend a moment having fun at all.
And that's how... Everyone who has ever sent an email asking to work just said, how can I unsend that?
So we scheduled emails. Great. And that's why I love the format of podcasts, because I don't know if you listeners have picked up on this yet. If you've listened for 30 seconds, you have. I'm kind of a sarcastic, like silly person. And that comes through much better in like talking in video than it does in written text. And I love that I can say stupid things like what I just said about how I spent my weekend. And we all know that I'm not being serious because I just chilled.
There you go.
Well, speaking of just chilling, this episode is going to be a little bit of that as well. A little more fun. We're doing something different again today. Instead of our usual tips and strategies, we're going to be sharing stories of points and miles moments that genuinely surprised us. You know, those redemptions or tricks that had you saying, wait, that actually worked? Because even as points experts, we still get caught off by incredible values. Last minute wins, creative solutions we didn't expect to succeed. You know, these aren't always carefully planned redemptions. They're happy accidents, as Bob Ross would say. The Hail Mary attempts, the creative solutions that worked out better than we could have ever imagined. And the best part is that many of these surprising wins can be replicated by you. So although we're kind of being fun today, a little silly, there's some learning that's going to be coming through here. Because sometimes just a single, you know, tip, strategy, last minute place to look can make the difference between a pretty good trip and a fantastic trip. So we each prepared some kind of stories of where we've encountered this in our points and miles journey. I guess I'll ask, does anyone feel passionate about going first?
I mean, I love to hear myself talk, so I'm always happy to go first.
Boom. All right. See, sarcasm comes through. I love it.
I was thrown off guard when, you know, when you said we're just chilling and now this is going to be a chilling episode. I was like, oh, like my brain went to like Halloween, like chilling, like frightening.
Oh, what? I mean, we don't know what your story is yet.
Yeah.
It might be chilling.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy to go first unless anyone else really wants to. Even though I was not first in line on the outline, the point of my story is advocate for yourself. Ask what you want, just like I advocated for going first. And apparently that's what I'm getting now. So my story goes back to my genesis story of Points and Miles. The whole reason I found Points and Miles, surely I've said this on an earlier podcast episode, but the whole...
I feel like we're so deep into them now that the odds are good. We've all said the thing.
Probably.
We've all said things before.
Probably. The whole reason I got into Points and Miles was because whenever I got engaged, Maria, who you've all met by now.
Yeah. We heard the story from her side, too.
Yeah.
It sounded a little more threatening, a little more chilling, if you will.
Yeah.
Oh, did I haven't listened to that recording. So if this story came up, well, double dose of story time. But
yeah,
I got into Points and Miles because she wanted to honeymoon in, or she planted the seed of honeymoon in the Maldives. It wasn't like a huge pressure thing. It was, I always thought it would be cool, but we're not... I don't know a famous person who's there, so I'm trying to make an analogy that's really
falling. We're not falling. Kim Kardashian.
Okay, we're not Kim Kardashian.
She definitely hasn't been there, but I feel like that's a good way to approach it.
It's funny. This is a very random side quest. I actually was reading a review of the Conrad in Bora Bora this morning, and apparently on an episode of the Kardashians, they were there, and
really?
Someone made a... I guess like her mom or someone, I don't know. I don't watch it, but was yelling from their bungalow, her like in the water. And so it's very popular to like swim by that bungalow to see that spot. But that was Bora Bora, not the Maldives.
Yeah.
I also love that you start your day reading a review. That's today, right? Like
yeah.
Just picturing the first moments you woke up, your alarm clock is definitely like the United boarding announcement. And then your phone just has like Maldives reviews on them just to scroll through and start your day. This is a normal morning for Travis, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't first thing. It was while I was eating breakfast. So, you know, 15 minutes late. That was how I got into it. And my original flights there were from Dallas to Abu Dhabi, flying Etihad, and then Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. And I'm super excited about it. We're flying in first class. And about 2, maybe 3 weeks before our wedding, and we're supposed to leave, Etihad announces that pretty much effective immediately, they're discontinuing the Dallas to Abu Dhabi route. So my flight does not exist anymore.
Goodbye.
Good luck.
So like a couple weeks for the wedding, everyone's like, oh, are the flowers the right shade of white? Are the napkins going to be okay? Travis is just like, hey, our honeymoon flight is currently not in place.
A few weeks leading up to a wedding are like the most calm, chill.
For sure.
That's relaxed. What everyone says. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the most zen state I've ever been.
Right.
And disturbed.
Something has disturbed your peace.
Something has disturbed the zen. So I'm trying to figure out how to salvage this. Keep in mind at this point, I've maybe only had 2, maybe 3 redemption trips I've done, and none this big. This was my first real big international premium cabin experience. First real big redemption. And so first thing I do, of course, is I just go and look, and surprise, surprise, I can't make my trip work with the award availability that is there. Just flat out can't. Etihad doesn't have any additional availability the following days from Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. The few other options to fly between the US and Abu Dhabi have no award availability. And I'm trying to figure out what to do to salvage this, particularly with my Abu Dhabi to Maldives leg, which does still exist. Literally, my booking has changed to Austin to Dallas, nothing, and then Abu Dhabi to the Maldives. It's like some very obscure open jaw.
Just have to reposition from Austin to Abu Dhabi. Peace.
Yeah. and so I know I have to keep that Abu Dhabi to Maldives flight. I don't have another option. So I'm trying to figure out, how do I get to Abu Dhabi in time to get on that flight? And there is only one way of making it happen. Etihad still had some availability from London to Abu Dhabi. I just needed to get to London. And yeah, that was in first class, which was cool, but I was willing to do anything. Literally, my routing option that I found that worked was I needed to go Austin to Dallas to London to Abu Dhabi to the Maldives, even if I'm scrapping the premium cabins to make this happen. And unfortunately, there is no award availability that I can find from Dallas to London. Not on British Airways, not on American, not even in economy. So I decided to shoot my shot. I look up the seat maps and I look and see that there's at least open seats. They might have been sold, but there's at least open seats on one of American's flights from Dallas to London. I call American, and I really wish that I knew who I got on the phone, but I call and I explain my situation. Look, I booked a flight originally with Miles for my honeymoon to the Maldives. Etihad canceled the Dallas to Abu Dhabi flight. I have no other options. Can you open up award availability on your flight from Dallas to London and rebook me there and then on the Etihad flight from London to Abu Dhabi? And of course, I asked for first class because I'm already like shooting my shot. So yeah, ask big and just be grateful for when they say, sure, like you can fly in economy and there's not even two seats together, but it's better than not going. So I ask, can you open up two first class seats on your Dallas to London Heathrow flight for us? This is the only itinerary that will work to get me on my honeymoon trip. And it's in 2 weeks. I don't have another option. And she says, give me a minute. Let me go talk to my supervisor. Goes off. I'm sitting there on hold. I don't remember what the hold music was, if anything. But sure enough, she comes back and she says, Mr. Cormier, I was approved to open two first class seats from Dallas to London, and we have rebooked you from Dallas to London in first class and from London to Abu Dhabi on Etihad's first class.
Were you just like fist pumping into the sky? What was your reaction?
I was just so surprised that it worked. And for anyone out there who's going to say, well, Travis works for NX Travel, or he must have had some super elite status, I think I might have been writing for a couple of weeks at that time.
You're still getting paid by like PayPal friends and family, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we are not some big deal. I have zero American Airlines status. The reason why I think it worked is because I knew what I wanted and I asked for it. I mean, too often, whenever people are in these times of crisis because of a canceled flight or a change in their booking, they call and expect the airline to come up with the solution for them. But these agents that you're dealing with are having to do that all day. They're using their automated system and just trying to move through people as much as they can. And so by me doing the work for them and saying, here's the solution that I need you to do for me, surprisingly, they did. And they, quite frankly, pulled a customer service miracle that is absolutely unexpected by the US-based airlines and effectively saved my trip for me because I didn't have another option. I was relying on their generosity to make it work.
So not just save your trip. Now I'm thinking of like the butterfly effect that could have happened here. Like if that doesn't work, which for everyone listening, that is an absolute long shot. I don't even know if I would try that, especially like now. I don't think I'd even waste my unlimited phone minutes on that. But if that doesn't work, that means A, I get to save your trip. Might have saved your marriage, maybe. being a little facetious here, but also I don't know. Are you still in Points and Miles? If that doesn't work, like if your first big redemption is kind of a failed honeymoon that you have to explain 2 weeks prior, are you even on this podcast today?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. I'm sure that would make the news go over much better. Yeah. And then I want to know, what was plan B? Like, at what point were you going to tell your spouse how and where were you going to go? Did you have that in place?
No. Yet? No, Maria was sitting, like, literally when I woke up that morning, it was a day I had off work. I woke up that morning, saw the email, and told Maria, I have to fix this. There, and I kind of kept her up to date on it, letting her know the status of it. And I spent probably 2 or 3 hours trying to figure out how to get to the Maldives any other way with the points that I had. And there wasn't any. So that was when I just had to shoot my shot.
Now, have you tried that since with any other airlines?
Yes.
Did it work?
Maybe not the exact same circumstance. But I think this was 2 or 3 years ago. We were coming back from Indonesia. We were leaving Jakarta and our flights from Jakarta. We were on separate flights. And Maria got through, checked through security, and was about to board her flight, I think routing through Tokyo, when I get an alert that my flight from Tokyo back to the US has been canceled. I was on a United-operated flight. And at the time, Japan was still closed. So they were not going to let me when check-in opened for my flight from Indonesia to Tokyo. So, like, we were on very similar routings, just different flights for it. They wouldn't let me check in because I could not legally enter Japan, and I didn't have an onward ticket from Japan. So
that's not.
You'd have had to live in the airport for like 9 months.
Yeah,
if you got stuck there.
Yeah, which there's probably there's definitely worse airports to live in than Japanese airports.
There might not be any better ones, actually. Yeah. That's right.
Maybe Singapore.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Or, you know, Doha. There's some really good ones, but it's up there. It's up there. But yeah, so same thing. I went and looked for what I wanted, and what I found was plenty of open seats on ANA's the room, which had been operating less than a couple of months at this point. And so I just called United and said, hey, I need to be rebooked back to the US. Here's the flight that I want you to rebook me on. I said, okay, let's see what we can do. Here you go. We rebooked you on that. To be fair, and I will disclose.
You're 2 for 2.
You're 2 for 2. You know, I had been doing points and miles for longer. I really don't think that people at the airlines care about me or even know that I'm on this podcast. I did have status with United. I think I had like platinum status that year. But 2 for 2, my takeaway from all of it is just know what you want and ask for it. I think that it's easier for someone on the other end to say, okay, this is what this person is asking for to solve their problem. Let me figure out how to do it for them, than for them to try to come up with the solution for you, especially when most of the time people are probably aggressive and they're not in a good mood and they're just kind of grumpy and wanting the perfect solution to be offered to them instead of saying, here's the perfect solution. Can you do this for me?
That is definitely the tactical advice that everyone should take from this. But what all I'm hearing is that call every airline that I have bookings with and be like, hey, I have this problem. See, I don't like to sit up in economy fly and I want to go from Christmas to New Year's to like Europe or something. So anyway, please open first class seats for my entire family of 5. And I mean, I've yet to see evidence that doesn't work yet. I've seen 2 that it does.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted.
Seems reasonable.
Well, to be fair, one of them was just business class. So I did not ask for them to put me in first class, but maybe I should have had a bolder ask.
Yeah, like right before you hang up, like, hey, do you have any more of the braised chicken meals? I'd like to request that. No? Oh, then forget all of this. That's incredible. Yeah. And great advice, too. I love, like, when you bring a solution, like, this is kind of what I need specifically. It just takes all of the work off of their plate and just takes it down to, like, yes or no. Can you do this for me? And being friendly, of course, is, as always, as we say with 10X Travel, it's a requirement. But guess what? It helps in situations like this, too.
It does. And I also think just acknowledging how big of an ask it is sometimes. It's like, hey, I know what I'm asking from you here, but this is the only thing that really works for me. Is there any chance you can do it? Just goes really far.
And we've already got to the chills point too. I'm picturing like waking up that morning, seeing the email a few weeks before your wedding at breakfast. Hey, anything to talk about? Yeah, there's this issue that I have to fix.
Yeah.
I had chills hearing that story. Yeah. Amazing work. Yeah. Anything else to share, Travis?
Shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot. Yes, sir. Yeah. All right. Well, great story. Thank you. Emily, you want to go next or you want me to go?
Yeah. No, I'll go.
All right. Floor is yours.
Well, mine is definitely, everyone's heard snippets of this before, but this is the story of my first business class flight and what it led to while we were on the trip, which basically the setup is that we were flying to Lisbon and Paris for a trip in 2023. And at this point, I had never flown business class before. I've been on this podcast for like, I don't know, a few months. And I was tired of the shaming, the economy shame. So I was like, all right, this is going to be the trip. We're going to do it. But I already had a bunch of economy flights. I had our outbound and our return booked already in economy. So I was just spending like every single day leading up to the trip looking for a business class flight. I was using Seats Aero. That's like personally one of my favorite tools, at least for last minute availability. So I was hoping to find something that I could book with my United miles, since that's what I had already used to book the economy flights. And I didn't want to have to transfer more miles and end up paying like triple what I had already paid. So a few days before we left, I found Lufthansa business class flight to Munich, I think. And I was able to book that through United. So we ended up doing that, which changed our entire itinerary, like, I don't know, 48 hours before we left. We ended up with a full day in Munich just walking around. And honestly, it worked out great. I mean, I know Lufthansa is not nearly at the top of the business class scale, but I was in zero G flying through the air, so I was happy. But the result of this was just that we got off the plane and we were like, we can't fly economy back. That's simply not an option anymore. What have we done?
Who initiated that?
Oh,
the person that we heard in a recent episode. Yeah, I'd say I've heard all these stories from the other side and it's like interesting to hear them now. But
yeah, well, yeah, no, he's fully like, if I have to fly over an ocean, I want to lay down. So, okay.
And not on the floor in the aisle of economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once we get to Lisbon, where I'm like, okay, obviously I need to change our flights. We have direct flights back from Paris to Denver in economy. And I think I'd booked through Air France. So I was eager to, again, like cancel and reuse those same miles because I don't transfer more. But we were on a ferry, like just crossing the water to go to lunch in Lisbon. And I had like very, very slow data. Whatever like data I had purchased was just, you know, crawling. And so I'm on the Air France app, the Flying Blue app, looking, and I find availability from Paris to Dallas. And so I was transferring points to try and book that. And then not only that, but there's like a lot of taxes and fees too. So I don't think I've ever thought less about spending like $700 on taxes and fees. I just was like, oh, this seems reasonable. Sure. And I was so nervous, not only because like, are the points going to transfer while my internet is so incredibly slow? And then also, is the charge going to go through when I try and pay for the taxes and fees? Luckily, it goes through. We're sitting next to this like beautiful ocean, or not ocean, whatever, waterside cafe. And we have business class flights back. Obviously not home, but I'm not really concerned about how I'm going to get from Dallas back to Denver. I don't really care.
Walk if you need to.
Yeah. We'll figure it out later. I think my lesson, my takeaway from it is that, A, you have to be the kind of person where you're willing to like... rebook things on your vacation, where you're maybe not necessarily relaxed for like an hour or two.
But then maybe then, euphoric.
Right. And then you're like it, celebrating right? and having a nice glass of vino verde. And then my other takeaway is just that last minute availability can kind of change the game. Like if you're open to changing your itinerary or shifting things around, you can go from, you know, sitting in an economy seat for 11 hours to sitting in a business class one. So
yeah,
that was my wild experience changing all of my flights around mid-vacation.
On both wow. ends of the trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think last minute availability definitely be a common thread across all of these. But what I heard again from Emily's story here is the whole like, is flying business class worth it? I heard first time flying business class for Emily over to Europe. And then within 5 minutes, I hear the phrases, do taxes and fees even matter when you're booking business class? And also, if I can just get to Dallas, I don't care about how I'm getting home to Denver. I'll figure that out. So we can then determine, yes, business class is worth it when you try it for the first time. So much so that you'll throw hundreds of dollars of taxes and fees and figure out how to get, what is that, probably 1,000 miles on the end of your trip. When you know, that's a pretty common experience that a lot of folks go through who are sitting there saying, I don't know why people kind of waste money on business class flights when they could fly more in economy. There's evidence of kind of a mindset shift you go through.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I gave up direct flights too. So I will just throw me an inconvenience. I'll take it. Fine.
We talked about that in a previous episode.
Yeah. Vacation math is such a powerful thing.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Was this the same trip where when y'all flew into Dallas, then you ended up?
Yeah.
Like flying Southwest, so then you had to change airports in Dallas?
Yeah, I had an Uber, a repositioning Uber, yeah. Yep, same one. I figured it out. I just, you know, it wasn't convenient, but it worked.
I would feel the need to explain to that Uber driver that this was intentional.
Oh, yeah,
probably no, like twice a week or like, yeah, you did that thing, didn't you?
Flew yeah, the yeah, he was like, he was, I think he was in like pilot school or whatever they call it. Too. So he was like, this is so embarrassing for you that you got dropped off at the wrong airport. I was like, nope, actually, I didn't.
I did this on purpose.
Which maybe is more embarrassing. I don't know.
Good point. Good reflection.
I feel like it probably happens a little less frequently in Dallas than it does in like New York or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, flew into LaGuardia, but then surprise, your international flight is out of Newark.
Mm. Yeah. 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 That makes it difficult.
So what I'm hearing is that if I'm on the ferry in Lisbon, it's just like not, there's nothing good to see. So I should just do award searches.
It's really short. I don't think it was very long. Mm. It was like 15 minutes, maybe.
And so, it could have been so much easier. You could have just taken the Travis approach and just called the airline. Just like, look, so I need you to add a route from Lisbon to Denver in which I have the entire first class cabin. Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
For a saver rate?
Yep. Yeah. Do you think you could charter a fresh plane for me? Thank you.
I mean, I feel like at some point, everyone who's in points and miles, and particularly if you're flying premium cabins, you end up eventually doing something last minute. Or just to rebook on something that you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the strategy personally of booking something that exists and you're okay with and then continuing to check until it's departure day.
Yeah.
And then maybe you find something better.
Well, that might be a nice little segue to exactly what I did for my story. But before we do that, anything else on yours, Emily?
No. I can't wait to hear about yours.
Okay. Well, you heard the very succinct version via Emily's accidental segue there. But actually, I'll share two. First one's kind of fun. It has a cute video that I'm going to find and make sure to include here in the podcast. Second one's pretty wild. But let's start with the fun one. Emirates business class booking from Italy to JFK that became first class thanks to checking for last minute availability and understanding policies and knowing what to ask for. So this was summer of 2023. Took my family for a few weeks in southern Italy. We were down in the Puglia region, and we made our way up to Milan for the flight home. We were booked on Emirates business class from Milan to JFK, just 87,000 points per person. That was transferred from a major bank. So already excited about it, right? Flying the family home in business class in Emirates, which I feel like is one of those interesting spots and points on miles, because like it's a pretty good product and it's relatively easy to book for a few points. But because first class is so great and it's like right next to it, it kind of dilutes it. But I'm pretty excited about it. But I knew that you could upgrade to first class if there were seats available for, I think it's like 39,000 points per passenger day of. So we got this booking. I booked it months in advance. And then I sadly allowed myself with about 2 weeks to go to the flight to start checking. And this is like in late June, right? June from Italy to New York is a pretty popular time to travel. I'm like, there's no way. But I have my own morning routine, like Travis at the time. I'm whipping out the app. I'm running searches each day for cash. And I'm like, I'll be darned if there's not five seats available like 2 weeks prior, 10 days prior, 7 days prior. I can't keep on checking. And then I made mistake number two. And that was introducing the idea to my family.
Oh,
I was like, hey, if this holds up, we'll be able to do this thing. And I'm like showing the TikTok videos of like Emirates first and like the reviews and stuff. Everyone's super excited. No one more so than my oldest daughter, Colette. So now, almost like Travis' situation, I feel like, oh, I have to do this. Like somehow business is going to feel awful if I don't. So the space holds up. I'm checking it like the morning of our departure and it's still there. And then I entered into dad mode where it's like, we need to get to the airport now. Our flight's not for like 6 hours, but let's go now because someone else is probably sitting here, ironically, maybe a 10X reader who's going to swoop in and do this. So we showed up at the airport like 45 minutes before the gate even opened. And I'm standing there first in line and I confirmed the seats are still available. So now I'm really like promising something to the family. I'm like, this looks like it's probably going to happen. They open the gate. I get up to the counter and I tell them exactly what I'm going to do. And the gate agent tells me like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any upgrades available on this flight. And I whip out my phone. I'm like, yes, you do. And I literally showed her the C-map. I was like, there's five of them right here. They're definitely available. So that was kind of hurdle number one, where kind of the average person not knowing that would have maybe, the process would have stopped. And then I booked the flight with points. And the policy, at least at the time, and I think this is still true, is that if you do upgrade a cabin class, you have to do so with the same currency you initially booked with. So if you booked with points, you can only upgrade with points. Booked with cash, you can only upgrade with cash. So I tell the gate agent, like, hey, I really would like to upgrade. And she's like, okay, let me get the cash price for you. And it was outrageous. And I was like, I'm almost certain that I have to upgrade with points. And I'm almost certain it's 39,000 points per person. And she insists like, that's not the case. Like I've been doing this for a while, you know, gives me the feedback and I'm like, hey, I'm not the type of person to kind of do this, but is there someone else we could kind of talk to confirm this? Cause I'm very sure. And I think I know this. Calls a manager, on the phone for like maybe 10 minutes. I'm starting to get the looks from everyone else in line. Like, buddy, put your bags on the scale and go. And I'm like, nope. So spoke to the manager, confirmed the policy. And then we get to like hurdle number three, which is, all right, now I got to transfer in like 160,000 points from a bank. And I really hope that happens quickly, right? How long am I going to let you sit here? So I whip out my app. I go into my favorite bank's page and I initiate the transfer. And then we sit there and she's just, I got that vibe of like, this guy, there's no way, you know, like, I'm like, all right, listen, I know I don't have any miles in my account right now, but there's about to be like 160,000 up. Can you just keep hitting refresh? So we sit there for like maybe 5 minutes and they actually come through, booked the flight, turned around, told the family and got like the cutest 10-second video of my oldest daughter, just as if you told her that we're like moving to Disneyland, just going nuts to be on this flight.
What about Margo?
Yep.
She's in first view.
Everyone.
I know, but Margo, but she can't.
So everyone. Like, no one's close to
her. But no one's close to Margo.
I am.
What?
I am. Yeah.
That's in business class.
Nope, she can sit right by me, they said.
I'm by myself.
Similar to the both of y'all's stories, understanding kind of the policy ahead of time and telling them this is kind of what I need and this is how I think it works. Having points ready to transfer in. I'd already queued it up, made sure that my accounts were linked, ready to go. And just kind of knowing exactly what you want and asking for it got us upgraded to first class flight home. And the shower, the bar in the back, the Dom Perignon, just an incredible flight that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't kind of prepared in that way. And in the last minute kind of switch of availability. So that was awesome. And then real quick on the second one, a quick story about how I booked ANA first class by holding my own award space via different partner booking. I had similar to stories we heard in the P2 episode and here, my wife planted the seed, I believe is the phrase Travis used. Yeah. Like, hey, I'd really like to fly ANA first class. We're going to Tokyo. I'm like, okay. Like, I know that this is notoriously difficult to book. It's an amazing product, but I'm going to see what I can do. I'm trying to book it through Virgin, which at the time, it's about 120,000 miles round trip. You could transfer from most major banks. Did not find any availability through Virgin, but did see I could book it through United for, I think it's like 110,000 points per person each way. So almost double. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to blow all my points in this because this is what my wife wants. And like, I really want to experience this. So I booked it. And, but then later I get the idea. I'm like, wait a second. Like, let's see if something kind of changes. So I checked like a month ahead of the trip. And I did see that there was, that space was being listed as Saver space, but they only had one seat left. So that's not going to work for both of us. But then I determined, wait a second, if I'm sitting on two bookings right now, I wonder if I cancel one of those, if I could get Saver space. So I call up Virgin. I give them the exact flights that I want, you know, Houston to Tokyo, Tokyo then goes to Chicago. Two flights are like, oh no, there's only one available. And they're very polite and fun British accent with the great hold music. Yeah, love that.
It's great.
They're so great.
It's
so
good. Yeah. So the agent is looking at the calendar and just like, sorry, I see this, there's one available. And I said, okay, hold on one second. Watch this. And then I think I said something like, I promise I'm not magic, but I hop into my United account. I cancel the reservation. And then I say, okay, hit refresh, try again. She goes, two just popped up. I was like, perfect. Transferred points right there on the phone. Booked the award space within a minute of having released it myself. And boom, saved, 250,000 points, give or take. Got to fly ANA first class. It was incredible. But same common thread. Knew exactly what needed to happen. Had everything in place right up to the moment where I could ask, like, okay, now let's do this. And there's at least one customer service rep at Virgin that thinks that Bryce the American is this weird magician who can just make award space appear. But did it, booked it, had a wonderful trip.
I want people to know that you could chalk some of this up to luck, some of it to intentionality, some of it up to hope. I wanted to let people know that it doesn't always work out.
Usually doesn't.
There's a reason why we don't have 10,000 stories of it working out. You know, Bryce talking about his Emirates first class upgrade, I was almost certain that it was going to work out for me. When we came back from our Christmas trip this year, we were flying Emirates from Dubai direct to Houston. I personally have been fortunate enough to have flown first class on that route, and it's almost always virtually empty. So, but they weren't releasing award availability. And so I told Maria, like, here's the plan. It should be fine. Like, totally should be fine. You know, I've flown this. It's virtually always empty, and had the exact same plan as Bryce. We had booked business class because first class wasn't available when we booked it, and I kept checking before and it never opened up. That's why I said, we'll do it at the airport. We'll do it at the airport. Except when we get to the airport, that's the one day when it's completely full, completely sold out. I think there's 16 seats in first class on the A380, and it was 100% booked. And I know. Woe is us. We had to fly business class for 17 hours. And actually, I really liked Emirates' business class on the A380. I think people don't give it enough respect. I know I slept so good that the flight attendant actually had to ask Maria to wake me up because I was so deep in sleep. And I'm a very heavy sleeper. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's but right. It doesn't always work out. So, you know, Bryce somehow managed to get five seats and I couldn't even get two.
Well, it's good that I got five, because imagine if there were like two seats or three seats. And then I have that hard like thought of,
yeah,
do I do this with one kid? Which kid? And will my wife want to kill me when we land? Because I sent her back to business class with the others.
Just put all three of the kids in first and y'all sit in business.
Yes, get banned from Emirates for life. I do love that all of these stories have like that similar moment. It almost feels like Aladdin. Have you guys seen Aladdin? Yeah. Where,
Aladdin's probably got not a flying as recently carpet. As you have.
Well, yeah. I think that one's currently taken down from their archive or whatever. So it's been a while, but, you know, Aladdin's got his flying carpet. He's kind of like courting Jasmine. He like jumps off the balcony, gets caught on the carpet, picks him up, and he like reaches out for her hand. He goes, do you trust me? And she hops on. And we all had those moments with our P2s when it's like, hey, potential chaos happening, thing that you didn't want, can't happen. But then there's the do you trust me moment. And thankfully, in all of our cases, the magic carpet flew in that case. So that's what being a girl dad and a points and miles podcaster leads to story-wise is those comparisons. I'm here for it. But anyway, to kind of start to wrap things up, I want to quickly talk about what, in your opinion, makes for a great point surprise. You know, what tip do you have for kind of engineering these sorts of moments? And then we'll dive into some kind of underrated programs or angles that could lead to surprise wins here in a moment. But first, I'm curious, what makes a good points and miles surprise like the ones we just described? Last minute availability definitely would be up there first.
Definitely last minute, as long as it doesn't cause like too much chaos. Like in your case, Bryce, you were just on the same plane in a better seat.
I would have taken a layover though for it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. What else?
Yeah. I mean, those moments where even when you're getting a great deal, there's that emotional payoff, that emotional surprise behind it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, it was, there's no way they're going to do this. But they did.
Yeah.
For Emily, it was, I'm transferring these points as my poor internet in Lisbon going to actually work, or am I going to have some miles orphaned with Air France? Which, like, this was kind of before the deval, right? And so, or the reval?
Yeah, whatever
the
you want.
Exciting changes for our consumers of our program, Travis.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah,
right.
it was before they like cut the award prices, so like wouldn't have been too bad to have had some orphaned there, you know. Or for Bryce, like getting to move his whole family of five into first class, like just those moments where it's not even about the value of what you're getting, which in all three of our cases was pretty good, but that emotional excitement associated with it, I think, is what like really makes it a great point surprise.
Yeah,
that's definitely the best part for me. Within 10 seconds of the excitement of we've been upgraded, I got the eye roll from my wife Alexandra when I did the Superman like kind of opening his shirt motion in the airport, like I just did that, and then that killed the vibe. But I'm here for it.
I do feel that as the P1, you know, when we pull something like this off, it's like super exciting. And for our P2s, like they're happy for it, but like they don't see the labor and the work that went in, that necessarily went into it sometimes. And so they're like, oh, cool. Like this is going to be really, really, really nice. And oh, you don't understand like what I just did, you know? Yeah.
And then it creates the expectation too, because the next time you're like, no, there's truly no first class seats available for our next trip to Portugal, or whatever. And it's like, come on, do your thing. Like, wave your wand or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah. I feel like there's the element of surprising your P2 or P3, P4, P5 in Bryce's case, but.
And yourself, let's be honest.
Yeah, there's also like the feeling of like it kind of like reaffirming that putting so much effort into a hobby is worth it. Cause you can kind of like have that one little show off moment. Even if, you know, the rest of your family doesn't get it. You can be like, yep, I feel good. I feel good that I spent 6 hours checking every single morning for this award availability and I did it.
Better when it pays off. Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Do any of you have like tips for kind of engineering or kind of setting yourself up to be more likely to be in moments like this?
I mean, the obvious, like shoot your shot, be flexible. And maybe I took one that someone else was going to say there, but probably the real tip is put in the extra work that other people aren't willing to. You know, in Emily's case, she was on her trip already and putting in some work to rebook, maybe, you know, you could have done it whenever you were changing hotels for the 80th time instead. You know, but hey, you did it on your ferry to lunch. But, you know, she put in the work instead of just kind of accepting what she was given. In my case, I put in the work to find what worked for me. In Bryce's case, he put in the work to know and understand some some people are probably going to riff on me in the comments for saying this, but for knowing and understanding a more advanced technique to get what he wanted. People are going to riff on me because they're like, that's not advanced. People know about that. It's more basic than just transferring miles and clicking a button online to book it. It's about understanding more of the nuances about the program to be able to get what he wants. So my tip is put in the work, whether it's listening to more of our podcast episodes or reading more of our articles to better understand the nuances of some of these programs. But that's really how you end up accomplishing these surprises, is by having this knowledge base that you can pull from. And that only comes by doing the work. Like, it's, I don't want to say it'll never come, that points and miles will never come easy. It gets easier over time, but arming yourself with that knowledge
really helps. I totally agree. I think there's so much like unseen work a lot of the time that goes into this. Even if it's as small as like you just knowing what lounge you have access to before you get to the airport, like that just, it takes like a little bit of extra. Let me just search for what I can access, or let me just figure out. Our lounge
finder, of course.
Yes. And yeah. Well, that's how I ended up playing the golf sim at the Denver airport.
Nice.
There is one of those, and I found it through the lounge finder, which is great. But yeah, point being, there's a lot of unseen work, and if you do it in advance, there's some big payoffs that can happen.
And it's easier to do it in advance when you know kind of what to look for, like kind of identify the many paths, know the policy, have transferable points ready, ideally in as many programs as possible, so that you have those options available. And you're not just the person showing up at the counter talking to the customer service rep and being like, I have this general problem, help me fix it. It's, here's the issue. Here's what I think we can do to fix it. Can we please do this thing? And your odds of success are dramatically higher. So yeah, I guess I think do the work kind of encompass all of that, but the more specifics there are helpful. And I do also want to point out to the people who might be bagging on Travis in the comments for calling this like, oh, that's not super advanced. The points and miles hobby, like any other hobby, loves to have that situation where people who are pretty good at it in advance love to tell people that advanced stuff is not advanced.
Yeah.
Like, oh, people, that's basic stuff. You should be above that level. Most people aren't. Let's be honest. People, even ourselves at times.
Maybe this is my 40th side quest of this episode, but like, people like to think that advanced points and miles stuff is some hidden technique that no one knows about, that no one's talking about, and that's only stuff that you can call advanced. And here to tell you, like, there's not some hidden secrets that we're using to find award availability that or to get first in business class. It's all pretty publicly available knowledge. There's not, if you go scour some like Delta's terms and conditions, there's not some secret hidden coupon code in there to get 80% off all of your flights booked with their miles. It's like, these are advanced techniques, and riff on me all you want. It's more knowledge beyond the standard baseline that people have.
Indeed. Last thing, do either of you have any kind of like underrated programs or angles that you would look at or kind of suggest for people to lead to these sorts of surprise wins? Maybe like an option that they wouldn't consider.
I mean, I think a big one right now, if we're just thinking about like, you know, underrated ways to book things, and I'll speak for Matt since he's not here, but I know he's really loving the Alaska miles to book American, because it saves you a whole bunch of points. And it's right now there is a good way to get points over into that program, but probably won't be around for very long.
Maybe by the time this episode airs.
I think, yeah, by the time this episode airs, unfortunately.
Yep. Perfect.
So if you heard that, you just missed it.
Yeah.
Like the five people who were hoping to upgrade on their flight home from Italy, and they were behind line with a family of five.
Yeah.
Psych.
I'll share one that I've shared before again, but that I think is a really underrated angle that works for some people, doesn't work for others, is be willing to reposition outside of the US. You know, Emily mentioned she repositioned to Dallas on her way back, and people are really comfortable with that idea. But as someone who lives close to Mexico, you know, Texas is close to Mexico, it's actually quicker for me to reposition to Mexico City than it is New York. Or if you're in the Northeast, like, you can look to reposition to Toronto or the North the West. You've got Vancouver. There's some big international airports outside of your country that can maybe help open up some additional award availability and opportunities. So that's, it may not be as convenient, you know, for Emily in Denver, sorry, but.
I'm pretty central. I got lots of airports I can reposition to. Yeah. They're all within the US, but you know.
International repositioning can help open up some additional surprises.
Yeah, I think my tip for that question is look at British Airways for short one world flights. If you find yourself in situations like Emily described, where we're coming back to Texas, but we need to get to Denver, or you're flying to some destination that's close but not quite your final destination, I often find that kind of last leg, especially if you want to try to book in premium cabin, is best accomplished with a British Airways booking in their distance-based award chart. Even if you're not flying on British, it could be any of the one-world carriers.
And if you want to wrap up Bryce's chilling episode, maybe you missed his subtle hint in his last statement where he said final destination. So
yes, that's the last flight you'll ever take, maybe on points and miles.
And that's what makes it a chilling episode.
Cryptic. That's yep. Anyone who's made it this far is like, whoa, yeah, total curveball here at the end. So I think that's my sign as host to kind of wrap us up here. So here are some key takeaways. Even we get surprised sometimes. Points and miles just always evolving. Yes, that sometimes make it difficult, but that also kind of makes it fun. Like, that's what gives you the Superman moments that your wife rolls your eyes at you and you get to kind of experience these things that an hour ago you weren't sure that you're going to get to do. Some of the best wins come from thinking outside the box, knowing where to think outside that box so you have your options available in front of you. The best surprises come when you're flexible or willing to kind of try something new, or sometimes in Travis's case, just ask for the outrageous and do so nicely and tell them exactly what you want. You don't need hundreds of thousands of points to have a surprising win. You just need to know where to look. So we want you to share your own points surprises in the Facebook group, the comments of this YouTube video, or the comments of the podcast platform you're listening on if they've enabled those yet. Let us know which of your stories you found most helpful, inspiring, other tips that we might have missed. Riff on or bag on Travis for calling the Emirates upgrade
be
process
nice to Travis.
More difficult. Yes. His side quest number 41 will be to engage with all those comments. That'll be a lot of fun. And if you want to put yourself in a good position to know what to do in situations like this, maybe the best thing you could do would be to sign up for 10X Travel Plus. That is our paid membership program. It gives you 2 30-minute Zoom consults per year and 1 free award booking each year. It just takes the entire points and miles game, makes it that much easier by layering on an expert. My 10X is also our free tool that helps get you to that place to where you're ready to make these moves, including the My Next Card feature. It takes all the guesswork out of finding the next best card for your wallet to be ready for situations like this, and it will make a custom recommendation. And last but not least, be sure to check out our free course within My 10X that teaches you all the basics of how to travel the world for next to nothing. Maybe you're not ready to be talking about upgrades on international carriers for trips that you booked a while ago. You're just like, where do I start? The answer is there, linked in the show notes or at my.10xtravel.com. You know, sometimes the most memorable travel experiences come from the redemptions we least expect to work out. We just shared our own here today. We look forward to hearing more of yours in the comments and in the Facebook group. But for all of us here at 10X Travel, I'm Bryce. Thank you for listening to another episode of Takeoff, a Points and Miles podcast by 10X Travel. We will talk to you next time. Bye now.